Let's pray.
Father, we do thank you, Lord. That you are a God who has opened up your throne room to us to be able to come in boldly. And so, Lord, we want to come and ask and seek and hear from you today. What's on your heart? Lord, we desire to allow you to speak and be open to your words, that we just be able to receive and run with you. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak here, that you would, Lord, that we would leave knowing that your presence has been here with us, that you've spoken, and that you want to meet us here, Lord, and that when we leave, we'd be changed knowing you more. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to pick up the pace a little bit from last week. We're going through three verses. So let's just read it. And I'm going to read the whole first chapter because kind of, I remember I said that we're going to be bouncing and pulling different things from Thessalonians here and there. But there's some, well, we'll just see what I feel like it's from the Lord. You guys can take it for yourself. But it says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us in the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Last week we were looking at how we are the church, and the church is one that just simply means to be called out. Called out to be separated out from, and we talked about that. And it's not separated out. We're separated out of the world. We're separated and brought into fellowship, and we are in God. And Christ is in us. And we looked at how that it brings about what Jesus would say, abide in me and I in you. And it's the answer to his prayer in John 17, that we would be one, that he's in us. Just as the Father and the Son are one, that we'd be one together. And today we're going to look at for some reason it's a controversial word. And I really think it's controversial with people who like to argue over the Word of God rather than walk it out and listen to what it's saying. And that's election. We have one coming.
Lord help us.
What's that?
Lord help us.
Yes. We have an election coming, right? And what is that election about? When we go in, we're going to make a choice on who we vote for, right? Probably since I can remember any kind of politics, it just seems like the media is trying to start a war with the American people. Like, this is the most important election of your lifetime. Well, I think that today we're going to be looking at the most important election of our lifetime. You see, because I think since the beginning of the country, we found that we I have always been rooting for, well, it seems like the lesser of two evils, we're always told, or this person has this idea or that idea, but we only have one true living man that has all the answers, and he's given them to us. And so, can anybody tell me, when you read this word, knowing, beloved brethren, your election from God, by God, what does that mean to you? Man, I thought this would be a talking point. Now, see? Everybody has something on their mind they don't want to say. What does it mean, the election?
You've been chosen.
Okay, it means to be chosen. Some translations actually said chosen by God. So, to be elected basically is, if you look up the simple definition, it just says a divine choice. So we're told here that the Thessalonians, and I can say that all believers, really all humankind, fall into God's election. You see, God made a choice. And this choice is important to understand what he chose. Can anybody tell me when they, in time frame, when God, what was God's choice? What do you think God's choice was? Ultimately. God's election, what was it?
He chose us to have fellowship with him. He chose us to love. He chose us not because we loved him, but he first loved us.
Okay.
We don't really choose. He does choosing. But he chooses us to love him. And we respond.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm trying to think. Are you talking in regards to, can you rephrase how you said that again? Because I'm
wondering
if I'm answering the same
question. Well, I know. They're kind of... So, out of all God's creation, who's God's choice?
Men. Us.
Humankind. Mm-hmm. Okay? A lot of people want to break it down to those he chose to what they were created for. But when God said, let us make man in our image, he made a choice. He didn't say, let us make ants in our image. Right? Or bees. Or cats. Right? Or dogs. Just to get them moving on, you know. He said, let us make man.
And we are the only creature that he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's the scripture that we're the only ones who are made in the image.
So if we understand that that was God's election, does that not make it simpler when people start arguing over it? Ultimately, God elected mankind to be his representatives of his love to this lost earth. Right? With every choice, there's a consequence. We live in a world today that they try to remove all consequences from all of our choices. But God himself, when he said, let us make man in our image, at the same time from the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain before the foundation. He's being worshipped as one who's been slain. You see, God had the ability of foreknowledge. We're getting into all these fun terms that you learn in seminary, or they want to argue about seminary. But he had the foreknowledge to understand what his decision made. Right? So, we're his choice. He's chosen us. Now, in that choice, we get John 3:16, which we all love, right? This is God's choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is his choice. And here's his other choice. He who believes in him, believes not in him is condemned, but he who believes in him he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, with God's choice, he understood his son had to die, but he loved us so much. This is his election. To show how much he loves and is laying out his life so that we will not be condemned. Because when he said, let us make, he also knew we were going to make the mistake. And he made a way of escape through our mistake. We get all kinds of aches. This is God's choice. And if we can simplify that in our lives, is if you can look in the mirror and say, that the Lord could say to you and receive this, that I chose you. And I love you so much to enter into the choice and relationship, my son died, that I had to give. That's his choice. That's his election. And it's divinely sweet choice that he made for us. Now, I know there's verses in the scripture that I'm going to read it. 2 Peter 1:11. I'm just going to do the contrast. Because if we read this wrong, it can cause you to be a little upset as well. Get a little freaky. It says, 2 Peter 2:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
2 Peter 1:10.
For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God made a choice. And his choice is that he left mankind with the choice. Right? That's what it seems. So what is our choice? What is he saying to us? It's not our choice. He says to be diligent to make your call and election sure. See the balance of that? Same word, same definition. God made a divine choice. Now he's saying be diligent to make a divine choice. Right? You say God chose you and gave you an opportunity to choose him. And so he says, be diligent to make that call. What is your calling? Anybody, what's your calling individually? Do you have a specific calling that God's given you that you know? I know mine because it's 1 Corinthians 1:9, and that's God's calling you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's all of our calling. He's called us into fellowship. So if my call is into fellowship, my election would be to agree to take him up on his offer. Right? So I can choose God. I'm not getting into the arguments of the debates of everything else. Just simply, we can all agree the fact that God chose mankind, and in that choice he understood that there was a consequence, and that was the death of his son, and he was willing to walk it through. So that we could now be freed up to make a choice to follow them. I don't think it's very difficult to understand. I don't think it should cause problems within the church about God's election and ours. I could be wrong. But I just know that God chose mankind. And he chose the way of salvation. And he leaves it out there for all of us that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Any thoughts with that? Any problems? No? Okay. Does everybody like being elected?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just reading, you know, a couple of verses before 10 and 11 about, you know, the applying that diligence, you know, we said to be diligent. It makes God's calling and choosing. And all it's saying is, you know, that you have to remember to not return, you know, to your former sins because you've been purified. You don't forget, you know. And in that, you know, I just keep thinking of something that I've been saying a lot lately to myself. And it's just, you know, that God created me to bring Him glory, to bring for His glory, for His glory, and to and for His good pleasure. He's created. That's why He created me. You know, so that's my fault, is to do whatever, wherever, whenever, just to bring Him glory in what I'm doing and what I'm doing and what I'm doing.
Any other thoughts?
I'm trying to live by that, you know.
We all are. I mean, everyone in here is trying. I don't know anybody in here that's saying, you know what, I don't want none of it. I just came because of the coffee. That's why we try to make it too good, you know.
Fellowship.
Oh, team. So I wanted to set that because I think it's important. Sorry, I'm switching some things up. So, I also had 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians where, you know, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so this is God's choice. Like I said, His Son came, laid down. So God has, now that we've received reconciliation, He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing their trespasses to them. This is important. God reconciled. The only way He can reconcile the world if man does not stand before Him based on sin. That's why He has to look at His Son, who took our sin, who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In that relationship. And in that time, receiving that call, we talked about how you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And it's funny because Paul says right after that, in Corinthians, he says that God was in Christ reconciled the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we're ambassadors. You see the switch? You're no longer of this kingdom. Now you're a representative. And you're going to see, if you just read Thessalonians, they received it and ran with it. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, because our righteousness is not of ourselves. The only way we have that right standing is because we have that representative stand before us, and you're going to hear, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's the promise of the Lord for all of us. And it's good news. So how do we run with all that? How do we understand all that? I really, verse 3 really stood out, because most of you know I'm a really good grammar student. That's a joke. But I do think I understood this, and I thought the way, I want to read verse 3 again, where Paul says he's remembering them without ceasing, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. Actually, before I move on, what I ultimately, what I want to say before I move on is God's choice is to put it out there before you, to you to believe by faith,
right,
and enter in to His choice. So I choose the choice He's offered to me. What happened in the garden?
They chose wrong.
One was deceived and one were told choose. You see, they made decisions thinking they understood the consequence. You'll be like God. But the reality is their choice caused death. Now, if Adam was probably the closest thing that we have before he chose to sin, to be sinless at that moment, right? But yet what he found out was when he didn't believe God and made another choice, there were consequences. And the rest of humanity today is dealing with those consequences. And so, ultimately, God's election for you and for me is choose to receive His Word, like Peter says, to receive the Word of God meekly, which is able to save your soul. Right? Receive it with meekness. Meekness is strength restrained. I receive it with meekness because I have the ability to say no. Thank you. Because I don't, for whatever reason, I might think I have a better way. And so what I really want to say is, it's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is in there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways,
all
of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He might direct your path. No, He will. You see, God's saying, I put you on this earth to be my representative of who and what I want you to be. But the truth is you don't think right. And you can't be trusted with your own decision. So I'm going to show you how to believe. I want to show you how to think. That's what doctrine is. He's given us His Word, right? So that we might know Him. So we might know how to, what to believe and what to trust. But He wants us to understand when you make a decision on your own, it's costly. When you try to do something without trusting, without faith, believe in the Lord, it's a costly decision that you don't know the ramifications of. But we can come to Him because He's already shown us the way. That I can rely and trust Him in little decisions. We all worry about the big decisions and things like that, but it's the little day-by-day, moment-by-moment decisions to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I think I know what I should do. Will you speak? Will you give me an understanding? Better understanding? David went to war, or Joshua, when they went into the Promised Land, they won one battle one way. They tried it again the same way, and they lost. But yet we do the same things. And so what I'm trying to say is if we can come to His Word and come and hear and listen and receive from Him and slow down. Understand His call, His choice, and enter into His choice. Not your own about it. The only thing I can do is say yes and thank you. And receive. And as I receive, we give. We take and receive from the Lord. To give. So now I'd like to, I think if we would read verse 3 a little differently, I think it might help walking through these steps. Somebody can correct me, but if the three commas in the sentence talking about your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope, there are commas there. You don't have any commas? Well, I give up. Maybe they're not supposed to be there. I don't know. Mine has commas. But what that means to me is it could be made written as three sentences, saying the same thing. So, because it stood out to me, if I would pay it, because it really makes sense. I'm going to read it normal. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your God, election by God. This also could be worded, and I think if you just word it this way, it makes more sense, not more sense, but has more of an impact. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. Remembering without ceasing your labor of love in the Lord Jesus in the sight of God and Father. Remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. In the sight of God and our Father. You see, it's saying the same thing, but if you put it together, do you notice where the focus is on? For the people in the Thessalonians? It says, I'm remembering your work of faith in the Lord. In the sight of God the Father. Which means as they're walking, they realize that it's their eyes are on Jesus, understanding that it's all under the sight of God the Father. Right? That's what it's saying. Like, in picture, they understand that God sees all. And they're running hard and their eyes are on Jesus. Right? So what is our work of faith? We have a verse, right? John 6:28. Actually, if you read 27, it's pretty neat. Jesus tells them, don't labor for food which perishes, but the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Believe on him whom he sent. This is the work of God, Jesus says, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's your labor. That's your work. Your work is belief. Because God completed the work on the cross. All I have to do is put my faith and trust in him. I know you guys all know this, but he just says it everywhere. It's constantly being unveiled everywhere. Throughout the whole Word of God, that His Word is truth. And He's given it to us that we might have life. So when you look at labor of love, remembering without ceasing the labor of love in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. I didn't like have a specific verse because the first one I did, that was an easy one. But I don't know a marriage that sticks together or even a relationship that's based on love can stick together without labor. Because sometimes it's work to try to figure out what's going on, where I screwed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, we learn to interact and work. That's labor. Like, sometimes we got to work less. Sometimes we got to listen more. We got to find out the one we're dealing with and find out their ways. I'm trying to learn from here so I can take it home and work it out. But ultimately, it's a labor. Relationships don't work when there's no work in the relationship. That we become so comfortable with somebody we don't think we need to know them anymore. We become lazy. In that aspect, we become self-sufficient. But I think it's neat to realize that all these things are being done with our eyes on Jesus, understanding that the Father's eyes are on us. Just go through your mind the things you have question marks about. If Jesus was standing right next to you at that very moment, in person,
Would you do it? Or would you not do it? You know, these are the questions you have to ask. These are the things that it talks about going after. Do I make that decision to follow? Do I make that decision to humble myself and listen to what he has so I can learn and grow and know him more? So what is the patience of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you think of remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ at the sight of a God, in the sight of God, our Father. Any thoughts? All right, well, verse 10, to the end of the chapter. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. What is our patience? Waiting on him till he comes. That's our hope. Do you really believe it? Have you lost that desire for his return? You know what I'm saying? Because he is coming back. When he came the first time, they misunderstood. Right? He made a legitimate offer, but they didn't choose. Just like them, we had the same opportunity to be misled, and that is to think that his main purpose is to settle all the world's issues. He's coming to establish the kingdom of God. Not to set straight what's going wrong down here. There's a big difference. He's just going to be setting in line the things that's in the Father's will for us. Now, will all those things be right? Yeah. Will they all, will everyone worship? Depends on where you're reading the scriptures. Some say they still don't come and worship when he's right in the room. It says there's not going to be any rain for him. Right? Yes. Yep. Some are on the way one way and some are on the way the other. Or some are already there. Right? The Lord just desires to say, I know what's best for you. I mean, that's the only way I can put this. And I've elected and shown you the way. And Jesus says, I am that way. And then to not make it too hard, because he wants us to come like little babes, and anything that's not simple is from the enemy. So he tries to keep, he dumbs it down for us. How's that? We do that for our kids, right? We try to make it so they can understand. He's saying, you can't. I have. If you believe me, I'll bring you with me. And that's really what this whole life while we're here is, in the midst while we're waiting for his return. I can't add to my salvation. I can just enjoy it. I can rest in it. I can believe in him with it. I can't save anybody else. I have to trust him. How does it work? Well, it's his work. That's fine. Thessalonians tells us the end of verse 13 on chapter 2. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you. Did anybody see I skipped some words? See the last two words of that sentence? Who believe. Who have faith. See, God's word went out to them, and it's only effectively working because they're exercising faith. The same with us. God's word goes out.
doesn't return void. That's what we're told in Isaiah, right? It accomplishes the purpose for which it was set, right? But yet all fruit isn't a hundredfold, right? The word to seed, the seed went out, fall on good and fertile soil. What's the good and fertile soil? We just heard of those who believe and trust Him. And so there's an opportunity that it accomplished the purpose without being effective. That's a scary place, right? I don't want to hear God's word and not have full effect in my life. The only thing that is considered sin today is two things that I understand in the New Testament. Do you guys know what they are? In the New Testament, it speaks of sin. Yep. Anything else? He knows to do good and does not do it. It is sin. The other one is anything that is not of faith is sin. So, just in perspective, what God's saying is, my choice is that you will hear my word and receive it. Your perfect life on earth would be every time I heard the word of the Lord, I received it and I just walked it. Right? By faith, I receive it and I walk in it. Well, there's times we don't. And God says that's sin. That's falling short of your perfection that He has designed for you. So what do? Give up? We'd all done that and not been here a long time ago. No, we press in. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. The man Christ Jesus. And so I think that if we come to a place where we understand that God is always watching, that there's nothing that I can do that He does not see, there's nothing I can think that He doesn't already know. Because if it's sin, He's already died for it. It's amazing. There's nothing I can do to add or subtract from Jesus' death. It's already been accomplished. God already knows it. Every sin you've ever committed, past, present, future, has been paid for. That's why afterwards all He says is, all I want from you is to be thankful. Right? At the end of the letter, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That we receive it and say thank you, and we just keep walking with it and all day say thank you. And then, by the way, as you go out and see someone else, just tell them, I'm thanking God for the life that He's given me, that He's laid down for me. And I knew that He chose me before the foundation of the world. When things were set in order, you're not a surprise. You're not a, oh, not that one. It's like, no, I love you. And if you were the only one created and nothing else, the same effects would have happened. Same choices. God made the same choice. It's His desire that all men will repent and follow Him, but not all will. But looking at somebody, we never know. Paul had the idea and understanding that he was the chiefest of sinners, meaning that if God's grace could reach out to touch him, there ain't nobody can come across that God's grace won't touch. The cool thing Paul said was he was the chiefest. Didn't say, he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. He didn't say I was. Paul continually lived his life realizing that if it wasn't for the grace of God and the love of God that he had for him, he had no hope. And now that he has that hope
of a coming king. He just wants to share it as the Lord leads him. And I think that if we will receive and understand, we're in a sight that he understands better than we do. He doesn't want us to make choices on our own. Does he want us like little babies? Yeah. Come to me like little children. Right? As a newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the Word. You see, even though we grow, we should be growing into more and more of an infancy and trust in the Lord. If we're growing properly. And if not, he loves us anyway. And we have a mediator that we can still come and hear and rest in him. Any thoughts? Wow. No thoughts.
Well, that's your illumination of the life thing too much. Like that's a good, you know, the way I see it is whenever we say all are welcome, all means all, and all people have to know to show up, but some people don't believe
right.
They're included in all.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with the invitation with the Lord. And so having the word election as if it's a special club, and you know, some are excluded from that invitation, I think it's from the enemy.
Right.
So electing all humankind is a beautiful blanket over all of that, you know, to describe the word election.
It's the best way I can understand.
Yeah.
Brother writer, I know it means a lot, it can mean more, but I just, the simple fact, if we can take the simplicity of it, I think we can run with it.
Yeah.
If it becomes too hard, then we stumble over it.
Right.
All right, well. See, Chris, you're not the only one. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we're here because you chose us before the foundation of the world. Don't understand it. Just want to say thank you. That you've given us a way to have life and that more abundantly. And thank you again that we found it in you. So Lord, help us never to try to live a life apart from you. Lord, I help ask that you would help us to be more sensitive to your Spirit, that we would hear what you have, and that we would take the time before we make a decision and a choice to come to you for yours. Lord, that we would find that in all your words, there's life, and that you want to lead us to increase our faith so we'll come more. And as we see you, help us to fall in love with you even more. And just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.